Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, again, as always, thank you so much for joining us. You know what? In today's world, so many churches want to make you feel good. And obviously, I would love for people to feel good too, but not if they're lost. I want you to be convicted. I want you to be uncomfortable if that's what it takes for you to come into the kingdom of God. And only God can draw you. But this comes down to the very essence of everything that we do is to preach the gospel. Here's a concept that's starting to die, it seems, in our culture. But the chief end of man is not to gain pleasure. Chief end of man is not to be successful. The chief end of man is not just to be a good person, to help other people. The chief end of man is to glorify God. And we need to understand our priorities. Is it wrong for you to accumulate wealth? It is not. Is it wrong for you to like to go to a baseball game or a football game, even if you don't have the right team? No, I'm just giving my friend Glenn a bad time. It's not bad for any of those things. It's not bad to have a nice house, nice car, nice family. None of that is bad. But the priority is it has to be God first. And then everything else second. Coach Landry said that very same thing. He said in his life, it's God first, family second, and football third. And for us, it's everything. It is God first, family second, and everything else has to come second. Whether it's golf, you're pursuing a career, no matter what it is, if it supplants following God, then you've got your priorities out of whack and you need to re-examine them. Many, many solid believers have been also very successful people. But what is your priority in life? So if you're walking around right now and you seem unfulfilled and you seem distant from things and life just doesn't seem to have the joy that it once did, maybe your priorities got out of whack. Maybe you're an unbeliever and they were never your priority. Or maybe you're a believer who has allowed your priorities to slip. And so I have a friend of mine on the radio today. He was here last week with us. His name is Glenn Pond, and he is one of the pastors out at Grace Community,
Chinese Grace Bible Church.
Yeah. So you notice how smoothly I did that. And I've known him for quite a while now, But at any rate, he comes down and he preaches at the mission on Friday morning sometimes. And you guys also have a night that you come down during the week or during the month?
We do not have one yet.
Okay.
And I say yet, but we'll see in the future how Lord will raise up some men to help out.
Yeah, that'd be great. So tell me a little bit about your church. How old is your church?
Well, you know, I think in about a week or two, we are going to celebrate the 50th year of the building dedication of and where the first building that we use for the chapel. Now the building is used for Christian education, and we built a separate sanctuary.
Sure.
So we've been around for 50 plus years, and we started out in the downtown area, and then of course we branched off and became Chinese Grace Bible Church in the Pocket area, where we still reside today.
So it was about 1975, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early 1970s, yeah.
And you guys have a beautiful church, and it's in a really nice location. It's, as you and I talked about, next to a park.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't hurt, especially on picnic day, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of room, and it's nice to have the tennis courts. I played on the tennis courts myself, and it's nice also that it's by a school, too, as well. And so it's a nice little connection that we see people even from the schools or even from the park that might visit our church.
Yeah, and again, I want to reiterate something we talked about last week. If you're white, African American, Hispanic, whatever the case is, you guys are welcoming to all who come, right?
Absolutely. You know, even though we have services in Cantonese and Mandarin, but we have services in English, and we definitely want to, our doors are open. And, you know, speaking of the park, I think we did a Easter outreach at the park during the beginning or the spring time of the year. And, you know, again, we just said, people at the park, we just invited them to come and invited them to come back, especially on Sunday.
Yeah, because all true churches of Jesus Christ are not exclusive to whatever the ethnicity of the area is. Whether you're a church that is predominantly white, predominantly black, or predominantly Asian, the bottom line comes down to all Christian churches really will welcome anybody who is truly seeking and wanting to serve, or, you know, and they welcome unbelievers too, because we like them to know, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we preach the gospel to all.
How did you come to pastor out at the church?
Well, you know, I kind of began in the ministry. I did sports ministry for a little bit. And then after that, I just sensed God's calling me to go into pastoral ministry. And it was affirmed by a number of different individuals that either mentored me or had a deep connection with me in terms of friendship and kind of knew where I was. And so that definitely encouraged me. And actually, Chinese Grace Bible Church is where I was attending. And, they supported me and they encouraged me in seminary. And then once I graduated, I pastored in the Bay Area for a little bit before coming back to Chinese Grace Bible Church. So
I hate to tell you this, but this coming week is supposed to be like 109 or 110 degrees. How do you feel about leaving San Francisco now?
let me tell you, I miss the breeze. It's going to be a busy week. And on my schedule, I have an outdoor wedding, so we'll see how cool that will be.
Well, you know, it's funny. Outdoor weddings were always my favorite, mm-hmm. because as I thought about it one time before an outdoor wedding, and it was in the spring, so it was a little cooler, right? But I thought, how beautiful it is when you're outside, because the very first wedding took place in a garden. And it was attended by cherubim and seraphim, and God himself spoke the words that would bind those two. And I use that in those outdoor services, and I've said to him, and make no mistake, if we come in the name of Christ to unite a couple, then today, along with the guests and the relatives and myself, that it is attended by cherubim and seraphim. And although I'll speak the words that will bind you, make no mistake, it's God that does the binding. So that's why I like outdoor weddings, but not at 110. So you were called by your church, which, by the way, I believe that that's how it should always be. It should always be that protocol. Not necessarily you're going to seek it, but the church sees something in you and says, we believe you're called. That's how it was with me. And I think that is it affirms that it's God who's making the call on your life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I had a period where I interned before I went to seminary. And so that was a great opportunity for the congregation to get to know me more and just affirm and encourage me, and again, support me through seminary. So I'm always grateful deep down in my heart for Chinese Grace Bible Church and the brothers and sisters there that supported me, the church leadership that encouraged me, the pastors, of course, that prayed with me and was there for me. So I'm very, very grateful.
So what seminary did you go to, sir?
I went to Talbot Seminary.
Talbot. Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I went to Dallas Theological Seminary.
Well, as a longtime Southern Baptist, I like Dallas Theological. But at any rate, so you knew there was a call on your life. Were you married at the time?
No, I wasn't. So when I went to seminary, I was not married. But I did meet my wife at Chinese Grace Bible Church, I met her at a church softball game, and I was introduced by a good friend, and eventually we would start dating, and it was during my internship that I knew that was the love of my life.
You know what? That's always encouraging to hear. I know that you've been married for a long time. So, you know, matter of fact, I'm so intuitive. What are we talking, like 1995?
1995.
No, I'm kidding, yes. Because he told me that he's been married since 1995. And so I don't think there's much better place when you meet a woman for a woman to meet a man than at a good, solid church who is following the Lord. Because you know what? If you're going to have a happy, successful marriage and you're a believer, you better heed the words about not being unequally yoked, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I love my wife, and, you know, she has tremendous character. She follows the Lord.
Amen.
I think both of us went on missions at separate time, but to the same country, Japan. And so we had a lot of different connections, and I was encouraged to see her grow alongside while I'm growing too. I was an intern at the time, and so she saw me grow and I saw her grow, and we're both encouraged, and we were encouraged to do studies together, and so it definitely paved the way for a good spiritual foundation for us.
How was it for you as a Chinese man going to Japan to witness to people?
Actually, it was well received, you know, and in some sense, they thought I was Japanese, you know, to be honest with you. And I just kind of fit right in. The Japanese people were so welcoming. I went to the different campuses in Japan, and just talked with college students about the gospel, and built some relationships with them, and so it was just they were intent on trying to promote their English skills. In other words, to advance in their English skills, and so conversationally, I was there for them, and at the same time, you know, I also worked closely with those that wanted to know more about the Lord, and I was encouraged with one of them, who later wrote me after this summer that actually he trusted Christ as his Savior. He turned from his sins to repent and believed in Christ. And I was just so encouraged because, you know, we would talk about it a lot, and but he was away from home, but he wanted to go home first before he decided. And so it was just encouraging to know that he actually followed up and wrote a letter to me, and to express that he now has faith and believes in Jesus Christ for who he is and what he has done on the cross.
Anything better than that?
Yeah, I was definitely encouraged.
Yeah, I mean, it just illustrates the fact that sometimes we need to step out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that necessarily talk like us, look like us, walk like us, sometimes we need to be with people that we might be a little intimidated to talk to, you know. That's why, and right now, there should be people from other countries coming to evangelize us because our country is really in the doldrums as far as Christ goes. We have enclaves or pockets of people, churches like your church, that still speak the truth of Jesus Christ, but it seems like we are in a ever-growing, ever-rejecting community in the United States, which I was just talking to somebody, I don't know, a couple of months ago, and I said, well, yes, I said, China itself is a communist country. And the gospel of Christ is not really looked at too favorably in communist countries. But the underground church in China is huge. And they risk their lives and their jobs. And so there may come a time that China needs to have missionaries sent to the United States, because we sure, you know, excepting for those healthy, balanced churches that we've been talking about, we're in some serious trouble here.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously it puts us on our knees to pray and to pray for our nation, to see a revival, to see the people that we work with, the people that we go to school with and live with in our neighborhoods to be reach for Christ. I'm always minded, even when I go to spend time with the relatives, just in terms of they need the Lord. Just a mindful just to pray on the way or pray on the way back, you know, in terms of praying specifically for the Lord to have mercy on them, that he might draw them to himself.
Yeah, I pray for pastors, and I pray for my staff and for my family members too. And I started a long time ago, well, not a huge time ago, but I used to kind of try to pray specifically about certain areas of people's lives. And then I realized I don't really know their greatest need, but God does. And of course, the greatest of all needs is salvation. Mm-hmm. And so every prayer, if I'm praying for you, I might pray for the message you're about to give, but beforehand, what I'm praying for is your greatest need. Now, I 100% believe you to be a man walking in Christ. Matter of fact, I would be shocked if you weren't. I can't even imagine somebody could be. All I'm trying to get around to is that for the vast majority of people, you don't know what their greatest need is. I would hate to pray for them to get a job but miss Christ. So I'd rather they miss a job. So the first and the greatest priority for anybody, I pray, their greatest need. And obviously, that's always Christ in your life, right?
Absolutely. You know, this afternoon before I came up here, I, you know, spent some time with my mom, just getting her meal. Usually, my wife cooks something extra that I'm able to bring it over to her, and as we have the meal, I usually do a devotion with her.
But before we
have devotion, obviously we prayed. And I usually been praying that her trust would be deeper in God.
Yes.
And then she said to me afterwards, right after I prayed, she goes, oh, I trust you. I said, it's not me. It's trusting God.
Yes.
And so as we went through the devotions, and I could see that there was a little bit more confidence that she had as far as God's word, as she asked questions about it, and as I was able to give answers to it. And again, the trust is becoming a little bit more clearer and deeper for her. But it was very encouraging for me to hear that from my mom.
Well, and as you and I were talking about, even if you're talking about a friend, a family member, a colleague that you know is saved, you're 100% confident, sometimes their greatest need is a greater walk, mm-hmm. you know, a nearer, a closer walk with God. To your point that your mom trusts him already, but trusts him more. I pray that for me. I pray all the time that I will love God with my whole heart, my soul, my spirit, and that I will love my neighbors. But I know I fall short. Mm-hmm. I fall short all the time of that. I also pray that if our time of suffering, where we are called upon to stand before principalities that are antithetical to what we believe, that I would be willing to do that. But I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, well, you know Ben Edo?
Yes, I know. Okay. Ben, yeah.
So Ben Edo and I were talking in the parking lot. He said, I may be getting a little wrong. He said, one thing I like about you is I know that if the trial came, we'd be able to share a cell together. I said, it's always my prayer that when that kind of confrontation comes, that I would be able to give my freedom or my life for the cause of Christ. I can't imagine it any other way, but I pray for that strength. You know, so Corrie Ten Boom's father told her she was afraid she might deny Christ. He said, when do you get the ticket to go on the train? She said, right before I get on. He said, God will give you that strength right before you need it. Mm. And so I kind of cling to that, right?
Sure.
So anything big, exciting happening at your church?
Well, this is the summer months, and usually things are a little bit lighter in terms of the load. We finish up our community groups, and now it's got kind of like taking a break. We do have some weddings. Actually, I'm officiating 3 weddings, and including my daughter.
Wow!
And so my daughter's the last one, and the first one is actually next week. We have some weddings coming up, and obviously some welcome additions as we have some babies that are due that are coming in some of our families, and so that's definitely encouraging. So usually a summer is a great time to just get together more sporadically. My community group, they would get together for some of the grand openings of restaurants or boba places, those type of things. And it's really sweet to see that they enjoy getting together and also enjoy just supporting one another in the faith and Amen. Encouraging one another, especially as we go through some difficult times as well as some times where we're rejoicing, as we talked about.
Yeah, and you know what? Those times of fellowship are wonderful. We get some of our graduates that visit other churches around the area. I know that last Sunday I was at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and some of our guys were at Emmanuel Baptist Church. That was pretty nice.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of good churches like yours in our area that men are welcome, women are welcome, it's more or less come as you are. And I don't mean dressed wise. I mean, if you are heavy laden with sin, don't wait till you get better to find a church, because you won't get better. Go find a healthy, well-balanced church, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I like going to the Union Gospel Mission, and just to make a connection with the guys in the program. And, me as a pastor, I know other pastors come in from like Rod, Louie, and Justin, they come in. And of course, you mentioned Emmanuel Baptist and with Steve and Robert. It's just so they get a connection with a pastor. And then, of course, with the churches.
Sure.
That we're here to encourage. We're here to help them to grow. And so we want to make sure that when they leave the program, there is opportunities for them to come to our church.
Amen.
Or other gospel-believing churches.
Yeah, and those churches like Elk Grove is one of those churches. So find a church, and as always, my dear friends, thank you, Pastor. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to ugmsac.com, ugmsac.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.